This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wassalamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to A Juz a Day. Today we are covering the 19th juz of the Quran. The 19th juz of the Quran is the juz that begins with Al-Surah Al-Furqan, ayah number 21, and ends with Surah An-Naml, ayah 55. So it is from Surah 25, ayah 21. Then it has all of Surah 26, Surah Shu'ara. And then Surah 27, An-Naml, it has most of Surah An-Naml 27 in it as well. That's how long the juz is. This is the 19th juz of the Quran. As we spoke about last time, we wanted to connect the... We didn't want to split up Surah Furqan into two surahs or 2 days. So we are going to begin from the beginning of Surah Furqan, which is Surah 25, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed be he who has revealed the criterion, the Quran, to his servant, that he may warn the nations. Al-alamin is not just nations. Al-alamin is everybody, all of humanity. That's what al-alamin is. So I guess nations is okay, right? But it's basically he's sent as a warner, as a messenger to all of humanity for all time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is going to be the warner through the Furqan, the criterion. That's what the Quran is called here. Al-Furqan, the criterion, the thing that separates truth from falsehood. Alladhi lahu mulku as-samawati wal-ard. This Quran is sent from the one who is the sovereign of the heavens and the earth, who has begotten no children. وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Has no partner in his sovereignty. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And he is the one who has created all things. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And has measured them out precisely. This is the glory of Allah, that he has no partner. He has created things in the most perfect manner, in the most perfect order. And the most perfect order gives evidence to the fact that it is a single unified chain of command. And that's why he has no partners and no children. And that's why he is not like anybody else, and only one worthy of worship. But they, unfortunately, despite all that, they have taken besides him deities who create nothing and are themselves created. And what an irony that is. They worship the thing that is created itself and hasn't created anything. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفَعًا. And have no power to harm or benefit themselves. Right? Forget about others. Even themselves, they can't harm or benefit. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا. They control neither death. وَلَا حَيَاتًا. Nor life. وَلَا نُشُورًا. Nor resurrection. Why are they being worshipped if they cannot have any say or any control in these matters? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who disbelieve, those who deny the truth, they say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ. This is only a forgery of his own invention. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. And others have helped him in coming up with this forgery, the Quran. It's fabricated. He's made it up himself. These are not like, it's not a divine revelation. And others, he sought help from others. The Quran says, فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. What they say is unjust and false. And this is what they say today about the Quran too, right? That's not only what the Quraysh said. Even today, when someone wants to reject the Quran's divinity, this is what they say. Oh, it's just something that the Prophet made up himself and he must have copied it from here or there. They would say, for example, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ اكْتَتَبَهَا. Fables of the ancients, which he had written down. اكْتَتَبَهَا. He's meticulous in noting down these things. فَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَصِيلًا. And they are dictated to him morning and evening. This is exactly what the Orientalists say today as well. Orientalist is someone who's not a Muslim, but studies Islam to refute Islam. Okay, that's what they say. Well, this is, you know, from the Prophet went to Syria when he was a young man, and he went to, you know, Yemen when he was a young man for trade expeditions. And that's how he knew about what the Christians believed and the Jews believed. And that's how he came up with these stories in the Quran, right? Even though there's a remarkable difference between the narrative of the Quran and the narrative of the Bible. And even though there is a clear consistency in the stories and the historical accounts in the Quran. And add to that, the Prophet himself could not read or write. He was unlettered. So all of these things, and who is this this individual who's dictating it to them? Who is this person, right? Which scholar of the Bible, right, lived around the Prophet for that long that they would dictate to the Prophet the stories of the Bible? Who is that? None. قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It has been revealed by him who knows every secret that is in the heavens and on the earth. That's the reality. Say to them, they said this, reply to them, O Prophet, this way. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He is the most forgiving and most merciful. He's not some, vindicative Lord. He is the most forgiving, the most merciful Lord. Okay, notice, they said, reply to them, O Prophet, by this. They said, what is up with this messenger? Who eats food and walks about in the marketplaces? Why has no angel been sent down with him to warn us? Even though there is an angel, Jibreel alayhi salam would come. But we want to see something superhuman. How come this angel, or how come this messenger is not, you know, doesn't have riches? يُلْقَى إِلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ تَكُونُ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. Or a garden, something like, you know, he doesn't have to worry about anything. He just has, you know, luxury and enjoyment. How come he doesn't get all these, you know, things? In their mind, that's the measure of success, right? Monetary success is the measure of success. So they're judging the Prophet by that. And then they say, the wrongdoers say, you are surely following a man who is bewitched. إِنْ تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا مَسْحُورًا. That's what they said. Reply to them, O messenger. انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال. Observe what kind of, you know, things they say about you. What kind of falsehoods they say. ضربوا لك الأمثال. What kind of examples they give to justify to themselves that you are not a prophet. Okay? And that is why فضلوا, they have surely gone astray. فلا يستطيعون سبيلا, and then are unable to find the straight path. The Prophet ﷺ cannot read and write. How can he copy from other scriptures? The Prophet ﷺ did not have access to the intricacies of the laws of the Jews. How can he be talking about that in the Quran with so much detail? The Prophet ﷺ had some people around him who knew the Bible and some people in the Arabian Peninsula who knew, you know, other scripture, but not in anywhere near the amount of detail that the Quran has. Who are these people who the Prophet is copying from? Right? That's the question. And that's why when you want to, say that this is not, you know, Allah's revelation, you will have to find these kind of examples. You will have to find these kind of justifications. And that's what they would say about the Prophet ﷺ. And that's what they say about the Prophet ﷺ today as well. But Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي إِن شَاءَ جَعَلَ لَكَ خَيْرًا مِّن ذَلِكَ. Blessed is he, if he please, can give you better things than that. Better things than these gardens and treasures. Better than all of that is Jannatin Tajri Min Tahtiha Al-Anhar. Gardens watered by flowing streams and palaces. The real reason why they don't believe you, O Prophet ﷺ, as a prophet, or they don't want to accept you as a prophet, the real reason why they don't want to accept the Quran as the word of God is ayah number 11. Bal kadhabu bis-sa'a. They have denied the hour. They have denied it. They have called and the accountability of the next life, they have called it a lie. And that's why they don't want to accept. Because if you accept accountability of the next life, now your life has to change in accordance to that. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِالسَّاعَةِ سَعِيرًا. As for those who have denied that, there is going to be a very severe punishment, a blazing fire. Okay. The glimpses of the punishment are shown here. What kind of a fire is this? إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّذًا وَزَفِيرًا. This is not any type of punishment. This is not just any flame. When it sees them from afar, they will hear its raging and roaring. SubhanAllah. The fire itself has this raging and roaring smell. This raging and roaring characteristic. Okay. Then when they are tossed in it, into a narrow space, chained to chain together, دَعَوْ هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا, then they will plead for death. But that day, لَا تَدُعُ الْيَوْمَ ثُبُورًا وَاحِدًا, don't call today for one death, call for many deaths. I.e., this is not going to transpire. That even one death will not save you from this kind of torture. Okay? That is a glimpse of the punishment. But whenever Allah mentions the punishment, He mentions that there is paradise. And paradise, look at how Allah describes it as. Jannatul Khuld, the paradise of immortality. Meaning, you are not going to die there. Whatever pleasures, whatever enjoyment you're enjoying, you are not going to lose that. It is going to be lahumma yasha'un, whatever you desire, khalideen, forever. Right? This is, paradise is described in these terms, mostly in the Quran. The expressions and the emotions a person would feel. It's, beyond words. Just to call it a little garden or some rivers, that's a very, very basic description. But the Quran gives us glimpses. And the biggest glimpse it gives us is the experience, the sensation of being content, the sensation of having no fear of losing what you have, the sensation of having whatever you want. That is paradise. Okay. A glimpse of paradise is given here. A very interesting thing Allah says in ayah number 20, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. This was a criticism. Why is he a human being? How come he's dependent? How come he's like us? Right? This is a criticism that people would have about prophets. And Allah SWT responds, every messenger was a human being who would eat and walk around in the marketplace, meaning live like a normal human being. Okay? But the difference between them and other human beings would be that they receive revelation. So to expect anything different would be to expect something that's not going to take place. That's how Allah does. That's what Allah does. That's how He does things. Okay. The real reason for rejection was already mentioned previously. Okay. But this is an important point. Every messenger was like this. And then Allah says something very interesting. I really like this verse, and I think you should underline this. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We make some of you a means of trial for others to see whether you are patient, whether you are steadfast. We made some human beings a test or a fitna, a trial, a means of, a means of difficulty for others. There's people like that in the world who are going to be a test of your patience. And that is what Allah says. We've done this to see, أَتَصْبِرُونَ, will you be patient? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا, and your Lord is all-seeing. Now, this is first speaking to the Prophet ﷺ to say that, look, there are people who are going to be a thorn in your side, O Prophet ﷺ. So you have to be, instead of anything else, you should be patient in the face of this. أَتَصْبِرُونَ, you should be patient and deal with them in the best way. And that's what he did, ﷺ. Okay? But then the ayah and its ruling or its meaning extends beyond the Prophet and extends to all of us as well. There are people who are going to be a thorn in our side. They're going to be very difficult to bear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us they are a test, and we have to act appropriately and accordingly. Okay, some more glimpses of the punishment are mentioned here. Okay, Surah ayah number 25. وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ the day when the clouds, the day when the sky will split open with its clouds, and the angels are sent down rank upon rank. Okay, that's the day of judgment. On that day, الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ إِذِ لِلَّهِ, true sovereignty on that day will belong to the to al-yawm al-mulku yawma idhil, excuse me, I misread that. Al-mulku yawma idhin al-haqqu lir-rahman. True sovereignty on that day will belong to the gracious one, to Allah the most merciful, Ar-Rahman. Wa kana yawman 'ala al-kafirina 'asira, and that will be a hard day for those who deny the truth. It is going to be a tough day for them. Okay? And that's a, you know, it's a, sometimes the Quran says something like an understatement just to tell you, like, it's going to be a hard day, meaning it's going to be an unbearable day. Okay? And this is like an Arabic rhetoric way of speaking to when something is like at its worst, to say this is going to be bad, right? It's like a expression that's used, and sometimes we use it as well, right? This is going to be a hard test for you. This is going to be a difficult exam, right? It's going to be the most difficult thing you've done, okay? So this is an expression for that. وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِينَ عَسِيرًا. It's going to be unbearable for them that day. Okay, what's going to happen? Here's an example. Here's the scene. يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. On that day, the wrongdoer will bite his hands. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. And say, would that I had walked in the messenger's path. A better translation. يَا لَيْتَنِي, I wish, I so wish I had walked the path with the messenger, okay? اتخذت مع الرسول. The expression is interesting. Taking a path with the messenger. Like, I wish I was with, like, whatever he was doing in the sunnah, I wished I was, you know, doing the same thing. Okay? But also could mean that I followed the messenger and became a Muslim. All right? Why is he biting his hands? Why would he bite his hands? He's biting his hands because that is an expression of regret. You know, like when you are nervous, you sometimes, some people chew their fingernails. Okay, that's an expression of nervousness. Not that I condone that or anything, but that's what happens. Biting of the hands is like the hyperbole of that. Like you are so, like you have so much anxiety, so much regret. You don't know what to do with yourself. So the thing that your body instinctively does is just start biting on your hands. Okay? That's like the response of your body to deal with the frustration you're feeling. Is to make it forget about the frustration by physical pain. Okay? That is the kind of frustration and regret the people will face on the Day of Judgment who did not accept the messenger. Remember, the surah has been talking about why him, right? How come he's not a superhuman? Why not angels? Why not gardens that he has? Why not thing? What kind of revelation is this? So now Allah says this is what's going to happen, right? Fast forward all the way to the end. That's what's going to happen to people who are saying this, and then they live that and die that. Okay, die with that. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Oh, would I had never chosen such a person for my companion. Wailata, laytani. This is all expressions of regret. This man is experiencing the most intense regret. Okay? And now what is he regretting? He's regretting that he made a friend. And that friend was a close friend. And that close friend, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي, made me forgetful of the warning after it had reached me. Better translation, he misguided me away from the reminder after the reminder had come to me. The reminder here is the Quran. A dhikr is also the a name for the Quran. This person took me away from the Quran, took me away from the deen after I had found it or after I had received it. And that is the man's regret that day. The people he surrounded himself by. And then the messenger would say, Ya Allah, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people did indeed discard this Quran. My people did not study it as it was supposed to be studied, oh Allah. Right? And that is reason for their many of them falling short. So this is some scenes from the Day of Judgment, a day of intense regret. The Prophet is told, This is how. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Thus we did assign to every prophet an enemy from among the sinners. And your Lord is sufficient as a guide and as a helper. Disbelievers say, why was the Quran not sent down to him in a single revelation? لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. Why not? How come it's this way? It's all like pieced up, some surahs here, some surahs there, sometimes here, sometimes there. Allah reveals the reason. كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. It is to strengthen your heart. We sent it in this manner so that we might strengthen your heart, O Prophet Sallam. That's the reason for sending it in piecemeal. This is an important thing. The Quran and Islam cannot just all be quickly swallowed up and quickly consumed and understood and processed. It's a thing that requires time. The Prophet Sallam was given 23 years to process the Quran. Take your time through studying the Quran and studying Islam, because that's how your heart will slowly gain the strength it needs to be able to live up to what the deen is asking us to live up to. Okay? And otherwise, it might be too fast, too soon. وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. We gave it to you in a gradual revelation. Okay? This is a very beautiful expression or a very beautiful description of the Quran. We take our time through it. Ayah number 43 says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you seen the one who has taken his own desire? His own desire to be his God. Can you be a guardian over him? Okay, this is a reason for a person to reject the message. The reason why they're rejecting the message is إِلَاهَهُ هَوَا. They have taken their whims, their desires, what they want to be their God. This is perhaps this is the case with the polytheist Arab back in the day. This is the case with the atheist and agnostic quite a bit as well. Right? Their God is their desire, or their desires often become their God, their guiding principle, and that's the only thing that matters. أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. When a person is in that situation, you can't really do anything about that, O Prophet. Okay. Ayah number 45 mentions some beautiful signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Ayah number 45 mentions the shadows, how Allah lengthens the shadows and then shrinks them. Okay. If he had wanted, he could have made it constant and placed the sun as an indicator. Right, but the movement of the earth and the movement of the sun, right, creates this, constant movement of shadows. This is to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is part of his design, part of his wisdom. And this is something that happens for us to reflect, right, how the nature of the creation is. It allows us to live and flourish in the manner that if it wasn't the case, we wouldn't be able to live and flourish in the same way. Okay? وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. He has made the night a mantle for you. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا. And sleep as a repose or a way of recovery. وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. And made the day a time for rising. سُبَاتًا, from the word سَبْت. سَبْت is Saturday. And that's where, سَبْت is the Sabbath. Right? The day of resting. A nauma subatan, the sleep is rest for you, right? You recover. In sports science, right? One of the biggest things that athletes are taught is how to take naps before their important games, for example, as a way of recovery. They take naps, right? And this is, you think that one of the all time great athletes are doing just sleeping before their games. That's because that's how their body recovers. And that's one of the greatest way of recovery. Is through sleep. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا. And the day is a time for rising and activity. So what a very beautiful thing. Allah has given us the ability to recover, built into our lives. Imagine if we didn't have this. How difficult would it be? How difficult it would be for us to manage our energies so that they don't run out. But Allah has given us this mechanism to recharge every single day. He is the one who has sent the winds as heralds of his mercy. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدِي رَحْمَتِي وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. Right? He is the one who has sent these winds that pollinate, these winds that bring the clouds together. And then there is rain that falls, and that rain brings forth life after the earth is dead, and brings and quenches the thirst of the creation, the cattle and men, right, in great number. Okay, this is the kind of examples Allah gives. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ لِيَذَّكَّرُوا فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. Okay, most people persist in their ingratitude, in their disbelief. And Allah says something very interesting. If Allah had wanted to, it's not beyond Allah to send a warner to every town. Every single town and village would have received a prophet. If Allah had wanted to, that was if He wanted to choose that way. He is the one who has made the whole universe. But that's not what He chose. He chose to send a messenger to a community. Okay, and some communities got more messengers, some got less. Okay, but that was purely His choice, and that's His design. And He explains that, if He had wanted to, He could have done it that way, but He didn't. So don't yield to those who deny the truth. That's cannot be an excuse for denying the truth. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And respond to this kind of behavior with the Quran. Bihi, convey the message of the Quran, and fight these ideologies through the words of Allah. This is a jihad of the tongue, right? You fight a ideology that is rotten, that is incorrect, by the correct ideology through the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is what this ayah tells us about. Okay. Other ayat, other signs of Allah, ayah 53. He has caused salty water and fresh water, right? How when the river and the sea, they mix, there is this insurmountable barrier between them that falls naturally. A very beautiful sign, a very beautiful image. He is the one who has created human beings from water. That's how our makeup is. And then He has created us not as isolated beings, stand alone in a vacuum. We are actually all connected, right? Connected by ties of blood, nasaban, faja'alahu nasaban wa sihra, and by the ties of marriage. That's how, our families are formed. This is a way that Allah has allowed us to live and flourish. Wa kana rabbuka qadira, and your Lord is all powerful. And yet they worship besides Allah that which cannot harm nor benefit them, right? Despite all of these signs, they still do that. Okay, the surah concludes with a very powerful passage. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ. When they are told, prostrate yourselves before the Most Gracious One, before Ar-Rahman, they ask, what is this Most Gracious One? What is this Ar-Rahman? Who are you talking about? أَنَسْجُدُوا لِمَا تَأْمُرُنَا. Should we prostrate ourselves before whatever you will? And this kind of attitude increases them in aversion. This is a place of sajda after the class. If you like to make sajda here, please do so. Sajda is something you do in certain parts of the Quran. Sajda to tilawa, the sajda of reciting the Quran. So it's a very beautiful thing. It's like you see, like it's an opposition to the actions of those who are rejecting the message. They're like, we're not going to make sajda. So the believers, they make sajda to show their opposition, to them. Now, they're saying, who is Ar-Rahman? Who is this Ar-Rahman, the Most Gracious One? Who is this Lord, this God you want to talk about? You want to see who God is? You want to talk about the great signs of Allah? You look at the servants of Allah. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا سِرَاجًا وَقَمَرًا مُنِيرًا. The great signs of Allah include the constellations of the heavens, the sun and the moon, the alternation of the night and day, the signs are there for people who would like to take heed and who would like to be grateful. But also among the signs of Ar-Rahman is Ibadur Rahman, the true servants of God, the people who believe in Him and then they worship Him and they live life to that highest standard that God wants them to live, becoming the best versions of human beings. Those people are also indicators of who God is, they're also like the sun and the moon that you can see and you can ponder and you can reflect. These people are also a source of guidance. Subhanallah. How many times does a person find Islam just by looking at a person who's practicing Islam and, you know, and being inspired by their practice? How many people accept Islam to this day after reading Malcolm X's biography, right? Subhanallah. This is a man who passed away, so was martyred so many years ago. But till this day, people read his autobiography. And till this day, they find through his life guidance. This is what Ibadur Rahman means, the true servants of God. Because they are also a sign from the signs of Allah. Who are these true servants? الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. They walk upon the earth with humility. It says the key prerequisite of being a servant of Allah is that you have humility. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when they're addressed by the ignorant ones, their response is سَلَامًا. They have so much self-control that when addressed in a manner that is inappropriate, they reply in a manner that is appropriate. And this is what the Quran teaches us. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ. Repel what is evil with what's best. That's how you win hearts. And this is what the Quran is teaching us here as well. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Those who spend the night prostrating themselves and standing before their Lord. Right? Their goodness, the source of their goodness, the strength of their goodness comes from their spirituality. The spirituality is attained by worshipping their Lord, by praying. We ask Allah to make us of these people. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ. They are the ones who say, our Lord ward off from us the punishment of hell, for its punishment is a dreadful torment to suffer. Very, very difficult, this punishment, O Allah. Protect us from it. They're genuinely afraid of it, and they genuinely seek Allah's protection from it. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. It is an evil place, an evil abode. We don't want to be there, O Allah. They are the ones, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا. When they spend, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They are neither extravagant nor miserly. Okay? وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. But keep a balance between the two. They are not extravagant, and they're not wasteful. They're not miserly in that they're not, they don't hold back what's necessary. They have the perfect balance. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. A perfect, balance. This is what the Quran's spending policy is for the believers. Spend, don't be miserly. Don't chain your hand to your neck. Remember that image, right? Don't become, don't let your miserliness enslave you. Or imprison you. Also, don't become reckless and you just lose everything. There's a fine balance. Walk that fine balance. It's a beautiful, it shows that these people are spiritually enriched. Their dua is beautiful. Their the way they speak is beautiful. The way they walk is beautiful. The way they are calculated is very beautiful. They are the ones who, of course, don't invoke anybody but Allah. Nor take a life. So the foundation of Tawheed. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Nor they take a life which God has made sacred. Meaning they honor the sanctity of life. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Nor do they commit adultery. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. These are the major sins, by the way. Right? Shirk, killing, zina. These are the three top major sins that are mentioned here in this ayah. Okay, يُضَاعَفُ لَهُ. Whoever does so, commits adultery, will have his suffering doubled on the day of resurrection. And he will abide forever in disgrace. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except for those who repent and believe and do good deeds. These people, Allah will change their evil deeds. Look at this. Not just forgive them. أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. God will change the evil deeds of such people into good ones. Not just forgive them, and now they have a clean slate. He will turn their evil deeds into good deeds. He will turn their mistakes into good actions. It's like someone has a debt, that debt is not just like it's forgiven, it turns into a balance for them. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does when someone comes to him in repentance. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Whoever repents, مَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and does good, then truly has turned, إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا, has turned to God, you know, in the truest sense. Meaning, once you have said, I'm sorry, O Allah, astaghfirullah, and you do something good to make up for that bad that you have done, then you're forgiven. You are forgiven. Okay? This is the deen. If you have hurt somebody, you have to make up to them. You have to give them reparations. You have to make them whole somehow. But if it's not, so you haven't hurt a person or harmed a person or ripped anybody off, it's just you and Allah. It's a personal sin. All that is required is astaghfirullah, and you mean it, and you make up for it by doing something good and intending that, oh Allah, I don't want to go back to this again. Once that is done, khalas, you are forgiven, as if that sin doesn't even exist. That's how incredible Allah's mercy is. And we should never think that we are beyond hope, or we are losers or sinners and just perpetually making mistakes or incompetent or any. No, that is what the devil wants us to think of ourselves. What we think of ourselves is, you make a mistake and you make up for it, you don't have the mistake anymore. It's gone. Alhamdulillah. That's the kind of positive attitude the believer is supposed to have. And that's what these great ibadur rahman, servants of Allah, that's the attitude that show. They are the ones who la yashhaduna zur, do not bear false witness when they pass by frivolity. Whether marru bil laghwi, marru kirama, they pass by with dignity. They don't engage in it. They don't, they keep their dignity and their honor and their nobility, even when people are engaging in things that are inappropriate. Okay? Laghu, again, is something that is a waste of time, something that is frivolous. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. These are the ones who don't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the signs of their Lord when they are reminded of them. They are the ones who say, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَا. I want you to underline this one. Very beautiful dua, and you should make this dua every day. They say, our Lord, grant us joy in our wives and children, and make us a model for the righteous. Hablana min azwajina, it's not just wives actually, this is spouses, it applies for both genders. A zawj is for the husband, and zawj is also used for the wife. In old Arabic, zawj is actually for both genders. It's actually in modern day Arabic, like, you know, contemporary Arabic, that the distinction is made in that way. But in classical Arabic, the Arabic the Quran was revealed, zawj is actually for both genders. So azwajina wa dhurriyatina is actually for both genders. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Give us joy. Make our قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ is actually the coolness of the eye. The eye is cooled by tears of joy. Make our families, our spouses and our children so incredible. Make us cry tears of joy because of our spouses and children. That's what you're asking for. Subhanallah, how incredible is this dua? I will make this dua, inshallah, every day because it's a very beautiful dua. Those are the ones. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. They are the ones who will be rewarded with lofty mansions in paradise because بِمَا صَبَرُوا, because they were able to bear the difficulties of this life. They were able to bear the indecency of people. They were able to bear the insults and the harms of others. They were able to, you know, go through the ups and downs of life while maintaining their spirituality. They were able to go through their flaws while not ever giving up hope on themselves or on Allah's mercy, right? That requires patience. That requires strength of character. Because they had that, they are going to be given these lofty mansions and receive greetings of welcomes and salutations of peace. And they will be in it forever. خالدين فيها. What a beautiful place. حسنت تقرر. This is that passage the servants, the true servants of Allah. We ask Allah to make us those servants and make us of those who are worshiping Him, and we become reasons for others' guidance because of who we are. The next surah is called Surah Ash-Shu'ara. It's called as such because of the very last ayah. I'll skip to that ayah. 224, not the last ayah, sorry, the last page. وَالشُّعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَابُونَ. As for the poets, it is the misled who follow them. Okay? Do you not see how they wander aimlessly in every valley, and that they preach what they do not practice, except those who are true believers, except the true believing poets who do good works and remember God with fervor and defend themselves only after they are wronged. The wrongdoers will soon know how evil a turn their affairs take. What is this referring to? This is referring to the idea. The surah is called Ash-Shu'ara, the poets. And it's actually going to speak about the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's going to actually speak about a whole bunch of scenarios, by a whole bunch of examples of prophets where Allah demonstrates His might. Okay? But it's named Ash-Shu'ara. This naming of the surah generally is done by the Sahaba or by the Prophet himself. I don't know who named this surah this way, but probably the Sahaba did. And it is a reference to what misguides people, right? Not poetry is misguiding. Of course not. Poetry is good. Alhamdulillah, there were many great Muslim scholars. In fact, a large number of them were poets as well. Imam Shafi'i, very famously, for example. But here, what poetry is referring to is the entertainment industry, that its purpose is not to bring goodness. Its purpose is not to bring wholesomeness. Its purpose is to push the envelope, do something radical that people will talk about. And then it becomes the norm. And then you have to do something even more radical, even more unheard of, right? And that is what this passage is perhaps referencing. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادِي يَهِيمُونَ. It says they aimlessly wander every valley. That's a translation. But what it actually is referring to is وَادٍ, a valley here, is every unexplored place, or every like a topic that's taboo or inappropriate. They indulge in it. They go into it. Try to get reactions. This is what comedians do. This is what, Netflix does, right? They do this. There's an outrage. People are like, what? Cancel Netflix. And that's publicity for them, right? This is perhaps what Ash-Shu'ara is referring to here. And it's quite obvious. If you look at the entertainment industry and the people who are there, definitely they do not preach what they practice, right? They don't. There's no morality. There's no. There's no harmony in their lives in the sense of what they believe and what they do. Right? They're often at odds. They're often at odds. You would find somebody play a character of somebody who they don't really like. Otherwise, in real life, they don't believe that to be true, but they will play that character in the movie because they're getting money. Right? And they're entertainers and they have to push the envelope. So this is what the surah is named after, because that is something that humanity, right, can get, distracted by. And that's what the surah is named after. But the surah, there's one ayah that repeats in the surah. There's two ayat that repeats in the surah very frequently. This ayah number 8 and ayah number 9, you will notice it again and again coming. Okay? إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِّزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely in this there is a sign, yet most of them would not believe. And surely your Lord is the mighty one, the merciful one. Okay? And this is the theme of the surah. Your Lord is the mighty, the merciful. And Allah will demonstrate that in this surah through a number of examples. Okay? For example, He says, look at this. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَمْ أَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ. Do they not see the earth and how almost innumerable number of beneficial things we have caused to grow in it, right? Isn't this a sign of who Allah is? But most of the people don't want to believe that, right? Oh, inna rabbaka la huwa al-aziz al-rahim. Okay. Then it turns to the story of Musa. Okay. A very powerful story of Musa alayhi salam here. Moses is told, go to the wrongdoing people and the people of the Pharaoh and tell them, will you not fear God? Okay. Ala yattaqun. Now, what is new here is the dialogue between Musa and the Pharaoh. Okay. Here, Musa alayhi salam stands in front of the Pharaoh and he says, an arsil. First he stands in front of the Pharaoh and says, inna rasulu rabbil alameen. We are messengers from the Lord of the world, me and Harun. And we want you to let the children of Israel go. Now, what does the Pharaoh say? He says, qala alam nurabbika fina walida. Did we not bring you up among us as a child? Walabitha fina min umurika sinin. And you spend several years of your life with us. Didn't we raise you, Moses? This is how, you know, like you're going to, we favored you, you know, by raising you. And this is how you come back to repay us. And on top of that, Moses, remember the deed you committed? فَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ. Right? This is a very, very beautiful expression. It's like a play on words. The deed committed here is kept ambiguous and it's repeated as such to drive home the ignominy of it, right? فَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ. You committed the deed that you committed. Remember, Musa, what you did? وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And surely you are one of the ingrates. You are very ungrateful, Moses. Look at the audacity of Fir'aun, right? But look at the response of Musa, okay? He says, فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَنْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. He said, yes, I did that mistake and I was misguided. I made a mistake. I punched a person, the person died. But I didn't intend to kill him. That was a mistake. Okay? But I ran away because I feared you would not be just. فَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. I feared you because you are a tyrant. And then my Lord granted me wisdom and made me a messenger. And what favor are you talking about? What favor are you taunting me with? وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. You've enslaved the children of Israel. You've enslaved my people. All of my people, you've enslaved them. And then you raised me and now you're taunting me with that favor. Right? This is a very beautiful response. Like, look at how he, like, you know, smashes Fir'aun's argument, right? Perfectly. Okay? And you can apply this. Any oppressor who says, oh, we are bringing civilization. We brought the railroads to India, right? So you're taunting us with that. You looted the country, huh? You colonized it. You obliterated it, and now you're taunting us with like these little peanuts you left behind. What a joke! That is what Musa alayhi salam is saying to Fir'aun, and what an excellent response that is. And you can apply that to every circumstance where a powerful oppressor is trying to somehow claim to be beneficent and magnanimous. You can always reply with the way Musa replied and you will never fail, inshallah. قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What is this Lord of the universe, Moses? Who is this Lord of the universe? What is this concept? وَمَا, not وَمَنْ, who? What is this thing that you talk about, Musa? قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُقِنِينَ. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, if you would be convinced, if you want to believe, you would know this is what it is. Fir'aun, you notice how one ayah is about Musa and one is what Fir'aun says. Qala, 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 qala. But one qala is Musa and the other qala is Fir'aun. Okay, it's a very beautiful style of the Quran. It's like a rapid fire style. And you notice the ayahs are short. Qala liman hawlahu ala tastami'un. He says to those around him, do you listen to what he's saying? Right? Musa continues. He is your Lord, the Rabbukum, Rabbu Abaikum al-Awwaleen, and the Lord of your forefathers. He made you and your forefathers. You were not gods. You were human beings and you're made by him. Now Fir'aun is losing his audience. He's losing this battle of this dialogue, this debate really badly. So he says, this man is crazy. This messenger who's been sent to you guys, you think is a messenger, he's crazy. Musa continues, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ مَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Undeterred, he says, he is the Lord of the East and the West and all that lies between them, if you can only understand. Now Fir'aun has lost this debate. He's been humiliated. And now he is going to respond with threat. of violence. And that's what oppressors do. That's what oppressors do. When they are threatened, when they're shown to be, you know, oppressors and full of nothing, they turn violent. قَالَ لَئِنِ اتَّخَذْتَ إِلَهًا غَيْرِي لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ. If you were to take any other deity besides me, I will throw you into the prison. And then Musa alayhi salam brings about the signs, the staff, his hand, and then the Fir'aun says, you know what? He turns to his chiefs and says, this is a very skillful magician, and he wants to kick you out of your earth. He wants to kick you out of your land with this sorcery. What are you going to do? You're going to let him just demolish you and kick you out with his powerful words and his magic? You're not going to do anything? These guys are calculated, like I told you. They said, let him and his brother wait a while. This is going to become big news that you are defeated today. So let's let it calm down. And let's get every sahar, every skillful sorcerer. And then when the sorcerers came and they had their battle with Musa alayhi salam, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ, Ayah 46, they immediately fell down into sajda and they said, we believe in the Lord of the worlds, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Ayah 49, this is an interesting little thing he says. Fir'aun, this is a new addition or new thing that the Quran mentions that wasn't mentioned previously. What is that? قَالَ آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَذَنَ لَكُمْ. Have you come to believe in him before I have given you permission? إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرَ. He is surely your master who has taught you magic. How? They just met. How? But this is the thing. That's what happens. This is what fake news is. This is what we see in social media today. You say something outrageous that's just factually wrong, but people will buy it. People will not just buy it, they will believe it. And that's what his people did. They're like, yeah, they all got to be working together without any evidence, just because you lost, right? لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will cut off your hands and feet on alternate sides and crucify you. Of course, these people were true believers, and this is the courage that Iman gives. They're like, no worries. We are going back to our Lord, and we want him to forgive us, and you are a tyrant anyway. Now, ayah number, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves Bani Israel, and he saves them by telling Musa to flee at night. So Fir'aun sends his heralds, and they're trying to catch up and demolish Bani Israel. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمَعَانِ, ayah 61, when the two parties saw each other, right? The companions of Musa said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ, we are sure to be overtaken. We are caught. We're dead. Okay, in front of us is the Red Sea. Behind us is the army of Musa. And we're right here, the army of Fir'aun. And we're right here, oh Musa, we're done, we're toast. Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He says, no, my Lord is with me and he will guide me. This is what true Iman is, right? My Lord is with me, he will guide me. Musa alayhi salam has seen this, he's lived this. He's seen this when he was a baby, right? Saved against all odds. He's seen that when he was a young man, saved against all odds. He's seen that in the palace of the Pharaoh, nobody dares to speak in front of the Pharaoh. Musa alayhi salam just defeated him and smashed him in an argument. Nobody, then humiliating the Fir'aun in front of everybody with the magicians. He knows Allah is with him every step of the way, so he's not going to abandon him now. So, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنِضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ. Then we revealed to Moses, we bade Moses strike the sea with his staff. Again, the staff of Musa is like an image. The imagery of the staff continues throughout the Quran. And it parted, and each part was like a huge mountain. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved. In the meantime, the others approached. Okay, Musa and those with him were saved. The others, the Pharaoh was drowned. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That those two ayat will repeat. Surely in that there's a sign, yet most of them do not believe. And indeed your Lord is the mighty, the merciful. Next is Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ Ibrahim. Right? And the same, it starts by him talking about talking with his father and his people. Why are you worshiping what you worship? Okay. And they said, well, we worship idols. And Ibrahim al-Salam says, well, do they hear you? هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ Because Allah hears us. Allah responds to us. These idols don't. أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ They help you, benefit you, or harm you, because Allah benefits and harms. He says, well, this is what we do. That's what our people did. So Ibrahim says, all of this is وَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي They are my enemies. إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ The only one who is not my enemy is the Lord of the universe. Meaning the only one who I will worship is the Lord of the universe. Now check out how beautiful Ibrahim alayhi salam, his description of Allah is. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ He is the one who created me and he guides me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ He gives me food and gives me drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ He cures me when I am ill. When I fall sick, He cures me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ And He will cause me to die and bring me back to life. And He is the one I hope will forgive me my faults on the day of judgment. Look at this. He says, He created me. He guides me. He feeds me. He gives me drink. But when I get sick, He cures me. You see that? Ibrahim alayhi salam is associating all good with Allah. And when he falls ill, he doesn't associate the illness to Allah, even though it happens by Allah's command and Allah's permission. But he doesn't associate evil with Allah. And that's what we are taught as believers. We don't associate evil to Allah, even though it is Allah's decree. Because that creates the sense of ingratitude that how come God did this to me? God made me sick. That creates that resentment. That is what stops a person from being grateful. That causes them to forget the blessings that they're enjoying. So you learn that subtlety from Ibrahim alayhi salam. So beautifully he expresses that here. Okay. It speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua. Oh Allah, give me a good name among the later generations and make me of those who inherit the gardens of bliss and forgive my father for he is misguided. Okay. And do not disgrace me on the day when all people are resurrected, the day when wealth and sons will be of no avail. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim, except for those who comes to God with a sound heart. A very beautiful passage. The day, the thing that benefits on the day of judgment is not money, or family, or connections, or your ethnicity, or what language you spoke, where you live. What matters is the one who comes to God with qalbin salim, a sound heart, a heart that sought Him, and you know, made mistakes, but corrected course and spent their life correcting course. That is the one who benefits on that day. Inna fi dhalika la ayah wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minin. Ayah 103. And certainly there is a sign in that, but most of them do not believe. And your Lord is the mighty, the merciful. Then the story of Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned. Now, these details are quite, you can inshallah read them at your own time. I just want to quickly skim through and give you two quick things there. Number one is notice, as the story is mentioned, the conclusion of the story is... إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ Certainly, there is a sign in that, but most of them do not believe. And your Lord is the mighty and merciful. Okay, you will notice that at ayah number 121 and ayah 122, concluding the story of Nuh. Then the story of Ad and Hud begins, okay? And concluding in the same way, right? Concluding in the same way right here in ayah number 140 and ayah 141. Inna fi dhalika la ayah. Ayah 139. Inna fi dhalika la ayah. Wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minin. Wa inna rabbaka lahuwa al-azizur rahim. Surely, this is certainly a sign in that, but most of them do not believe. And your Lord is the most mighty, the most merciful. Okay? Mighty in the sense He can punish, merciful in the sense He can forgive, right? And that is the perfect balance of the two. And then Thamud and Salih, and then Lut and his people, and then Shu'aib and his people. Yes, all of them begin and end the same way. Inna fi dhalika la ayah wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minin wa inna rabbaka la huwal azizur rahim. Right, these are the two ayahs that repeat throughout. Okay, so that's one thing to notice, like how consistent the style of this surah is and very unique. Inna fi dhalika la ayah wa ma kana aktharuhum mu'minin wa inna rabbaka la huwal azizur rahim. So this is a very interesting consistency you will find in the surah. Now, what I actually want to share with you also is other subtlety that you will find. And this is something, again, we're trying to take like a bird's eye view of the Quran here. Okay. Another subtlety you find here is how Allah calls the prophets their brother. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ نُوحٌ. When their brother Noah said, "Will you not fear God?" Right. And they will say the same thing. Inni lakum rasulun amin. I am a trustworthy messenger. So fear God and obey me. All right? I am not asking for any money. My reward is with my Lord Allah. Okay? Now, when Hud is mentioned, it's qala lahum, their brother Hud said to them, "Will you not fear God? I am a trustworthy messenger. Fear God and obey me. I don't ask you for any money." All right? Then is mentioned Salih alayhi salam. Thamud denied the messengers when their brother Salih said to them, "Will you not fear God? I am a trustworthy messenger. I fear Allah and follow me. I'm not asking for money." Right? The repetition is showing every messenger said the same thing. Different times they lived, but they all said the same thing. They spoke different languages, but the message was all the same because it was coming from the same Lord. Okay? Akhuhum, their brother. Notice it was their brother Nuh, their brother Hud, their brother Salih, their brother Lut. Qala lahum akhuhum Lutun. When their brother Lot said, "Will you not fear God? I am a trustworthy messenger. Fear God and obey me. I don't ask for any money." But look, even Lut alayhi salam was said, their brother Lut. Keep in mind, their brother Lut is interesting because Lut alayhi salam was not ethnically from Sodom and Gomorrah. He was not ethnically the same as the people he was inviting. But he was their brother in humanity. He was their brother in the sense they shared the same city, the same space, they lived in the same place together. So they're brothers in the place that they inhabit, right? It's like a, you know, it's like an extended family. There's a bond that's built, okay? But then look at when Allah mentions Shu'aib. كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The dwellers of the forest also rejected the messengers. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. When Shu'aib said to them, "Will you not fear God?" Not their brother Shu'aib. Now, the reason why is every nation before was mentioned as the people of Lut, the people of Nuh, Aad, Thamud, by their names or their names associated to their prophet. Here, the nation is mentioned as Ashabul Aika, the dwellers of the forest, and they would worship the forest, they would worship the trees, right? They would think the trees have spirits in them and they would worship them. So now when they're mentioned not as their ethnicity or as related to their prophet, but they're mentioned as by their religion, Shu'aib al-Islam is not called their brother then, because he's not their brother in their shirk. He's not a brother in their polytheism. He's their brother in humanity, brother in ethnicity, but not brother when it comes to shirk. That is a bond that we do not accept. And it's a very beautiful, very subtle expression the Quran has. Okay, and of course, Shu'aib al-Islam says the exact same things as the other prophets. I also want to point out to you something that Lut al-Islam says, right? Because this is a point of contention. The homosexuality, the immorality of it is now a contentious thing. Okay, it could even be considered as hate speech and people will label me a bigot for saying this. Okay, but look at how Lut alayhi salam is going to speak about this. He says, "Ata'tuna dhukrana min al-alamin." Do you of all people approach males? And this is not just approaching. You know, ata is used for penetrative intercourse. So that's what he's saying. Do you do this? "Watadharuna ma khalaqa lakum rabbukum min azwajikum." Do you leave your wives with whom your Lord has created for you? بل أنتم قوم عادون. You are transgressing all bounds. They say, oh Lut, if you don't stop, you will be banished. We will kick you out. We will cancel you, Lut. Right? How interesting. This thing has, you know, continued from Sodom and Gomorrah until present day sodomy. The same thing is there. We will cancel you if you say something about us. Okay? قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ. Look at what he says. He says, I am one of those who abhors your ways. I find what you do abhorrent. Not you, the person. He's not hating the person. He's not hating the individual. He's hating the action. And this is a very subtle, very beautiful way that the Quran explains to us the how we invite to morality and how we talk about things that with people who we don't see eye to eye. Here, we don't see eye to eye when it comes to shirk, right? We will not accept it. So we're not going to say, yes, we are brothers in shirk. No. We don't see eye to eye in matters of morality like this one. So we're not going to just accept it and say, yes, you know, you do you and we do us. We are going to mention that this is something that we don't like. We find it to be unacceptable. But not to extend the conversation to the individual. Not so that it becomes hatred or bigotry. Of course, that's never the case. Okay, and that is a very subtle thing you find in the Quran. And to conclude this surah, inshallah, for the sake of time, let's look at surah ayah number 213. Ayah number 213 says, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخر. Do not call any deities besides God, lest you incur his punishment. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. And warn your nearest kinsmen. Start with your family first, and then be gentle. Extend kindness and affection to those of the believers who follow you. But if they disobey you, say, I bear no responsibility for what you do. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. Put your trust in the mighty, the merciful. Because Allah is the mighty, the merciful. That's the theme you've seen throughout the surah. Put your trust in him and he will take care of you. Because he sees you at all times. He is the one who hears and sees. So this is surah Ash-Shu'ara. The next surah is surah Naml, which we will inshallah discuss tomorrow. Again, to keep the surah together. Because surah Naml extends into the next juz. And it has a very beautiful theme. The theme of the question is there a God besides Allah, right? And that phrase repeats in this surah. And then the rest of the surah gives us examples of Allah's miraculous signs. So we want to keep those together so when we can talk about it all, inshallah, tomorrow. Jazakumullah khairan for coming out. I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.